Hello, everyone. John Coleman here, hoping we have another good edition for you all to listen to with my co-host, Norm.
Hey, everyone. How's it going? Thanks so much for listening, subscribing, and sharing the TN Mortgage Podcast. And we're really looking forward to some fun stuff for you here on episode number 8. All right, John. So it's already episode number 8 of the TN Mortgage Podcast. It's going by. And last month we had a wonderful solicitor on. And this month we're going to shift gears and talk about a topic that a lot of people are interested in, which is artificial intelligence.
Yes, it's everywhere you turn. It's almost start of the year. I think I had a conversation with someone and I heard a term, the buzzword. This woman said to me on the phone, it was kind of, she's trying to send me something, it's called ChatGPT. And I went, what's that? Ever since then, you just keep seeing more and more people talking about it. And a lot of the conversations you're hearing really would be the dangers of it, if that makes any sense, in terms of where the world could end up if, I don't know if the word robot is the right word, but if the robots take over.
If the machines start thinking for themselves to the point where they turn on us and the Terminator becomes a living reality, right?
We become redundant, yes. No, but I have, well, since COVID, as you know, a lot of my spare time, sounds like I had no life during COVID, but like us all, was spent on trying to make my systems better and make the customer service journey even better and more efficient. So I do see, personally, I see great value in the concept of AI. I don't believe it'll ever replace, well, I hope not, or else I'm out of a job. But I don't see it'll ever replace the absolute need for someone like myself, our advisors, for the either the human touch, or getting into the absolute nitty gritty of a deal, of a mortgage, but it certainly can help. And that's across the board in all industries. Like you hear stories of new medicines being created because of being able to use AI for trial and error purposes. So instead of having to spend 1,000 man hours using AI or bots or whatever they're called, that can be reduced. So there are massive positives, but I would be of the view that, well, everything needs to be guarded, basically. It needs to be treated very carefully.
Yeah, you make some really good points. And I think with any new technology, you know, you could look back at the computer, you could look back at the internet, you could look back at social media, you know, there's a dark side to it and danger and misuse, just like any tool. But it could also be used for overwhelmingly positive. So I think it's naive to think that either AI is just going to be, you know, benefit humanity and be overwhelmingly positive, or, you know, 100% it's a dark side and should be avoided and we should shut it down. You know, the truth always lies somewhere in the middle.
Absolutely. And where my view on it is with just regard to the mortgage industry, like you hear all sorts of people talking about, oh, how does it get more business, create marketing content? And I'm looking at it from a different context. I'm all about, well, how can it help me give the customer a better journey or better experience, right?
Yep.
So where I'm looking at it from would be like, I want to be able to get back to my customers with questions that they have within the day, within a business day. And that's the sort of standard I set myself. But that's because there's a lot of manual work in this process, in the mortgage process. So if that could be halved, well, then suddenly the time you can to get back to your customer can become much quicker.
Yep.
Where I'm actually testing at the moment, and I don't think this will... One of the biggest, and all my clients will absolutely agree to this, the biggest pain in the whole mortgage process, without a shadow of a doubt, is paperwork, right?
Yep.
You have a whole list of paperwork. Right. It's like the rainforest of paperwork. And you get the paperwork in, and then it's checked as it stands. It's checked manually. Now, that can take 2 days to be checked, okay? And if there's something wrong, which invariably it is, we're all human beings, so it's... Getting paperwork right the first time is very, very rare. So then you might have to go away and get something that's missing. Then By the time you get what's missing, something else has gone out of date. So it becomes a revolving circle of pain. Okay. So what I'm currently testing and where I see potential real upside to AI would be if the clients upload their documents, whereby something, some bot could actually check it manually and say in real time, be able to tell them, yes, that's correct. No, it's not correct. Here's why it's not correct. Okay. So to be able to give them that information much quicker, speed up the whole process, and would take a significant amount of pain out of the process.
Yep.
Now, that isn't going to happen overnight. And it's something that's certainly going to take a lot of testing from my side. But that's something where I would see massive upside to the customer experience and the customer journey. A, they'll get quicker answers on their paperwork. B, it would free our time up to be able to answer their questions in a quicker way. So I'd be very excited by that, but cautious at the same time.
Yeah, and I think you have it spot on where it's where, you know, a lot of people are talking about, oh, AI from a professional standpoint, AI is going to, you know, double my clients, I'll make more money, or I'll work less. And this, but you're focused on the consumer and the client and their experience and how smooth and enjoyable and effective it is for them. So I take my hat off to you for that. But basically what we're talking about is data, right? And in the world, in the mortgage process, in banking, in anything you look at these days, there's a massive amount of data, just an explosion. And companies use this data, lenders, banks, to formulate lending decisions. Yeah. They're saying, is this person a good risk? That's the whole underwriting process for any mortgage in any country. Is this person a good risk for to qualify, you know, to give them, you know, 500,000 euro or something like that? Or what are the statistical chances based on past analysis of people with the same factors that they're going to basically miss payments, or they're going to, you know, default on that debt? So if the amount of data in the world has quickened and sped up and grown exponentially by 100% in the last, you know, 6 months, probably.
It feels like in that short period of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane, right? Yeah. But if we're still using the same systems and processes to manually or very, you know, clumsily with computers analyze and process this data, then we're falling behind. So that's where I think AI, in short, can really help, is to stay efficient and accurate with the mountain of data that's available. And that will help lenders make better lending decisions that are more accurate, which will also help them speed things up, which will also help, you know, the whole process for the consumer and for you as well.
Yeah, ultimately, it's because it's a long process. It's ultimately all about how can we make this, make the best decisions in the most, the quickest time using the technology, the technology innovations that are out there currently. You know, that would be my view on it. And it's scary as to how quickly the whole thing has advanced. Because this has been like the holy grail for me to a point. I've been for 4 years trying to find systems, OCR systems, really, where kind of optical character recognition, whereby you could check a document. But each time I've been trying to do this, it's got to the point, no, it's not work. It's not good enough. Mm. But it just feels like in the last 3 to 4 months, we're at the point whereby actually, watch this space. This isn't a 4-year project for me. This could be within the next 12 months, I might have this ready. You know?
And it's not just abstract and, you know, theoretical anymore. It's very, very practical what it can be used for more and more.
Because I was making phone calls for the last, even probably 10 months ago, I had a call with a kind of a heavy hitting technology company. And I was told what I was looking to achieve was not possible at this moment in time. Mm. I'm now being told it is possible, and that's within 6 months, basically. You know, so you keep knocking on the door long enough, right? In this world, and what mightn't have been possible yesterday will be possible at some point in the near future, and that the gap between what you want and reality is getting, the time frame is getting smaller and smaller. You know,
yeah.
it's scary. Like my, I had was having this conversation. I'm sure a lot of people have had this conversation with within their family. And in some, like obviously, my parents would be older, and they'd be kind of, oh God, I don't want the robots taking over the world, so to speak. Right? They'd be of that view. But yet, even they could still see the sense of, well, when they hear reports around, as I mentioned earlier on, new medicines being created.
Yep.
So that's definitely for the benefit of humanity, which wouldn't have been possible without the use of AI. So I know I've probably gone around in circles on what I'm saying here, but
no, it's 100% accurate. And like, I was even reading articles when people are talking about specifically the mortgage industry. So yes, the customer experience, as we've documented, can greatly be, you know, smoothed over and made quicker and made more enjoyable with AI and more efficient. But there's also the potential, since AI can underwrite a loan faster and more accurately and look for pattern recognition and mountains of data of who's going to default, who's not, that people that maybe it might open up opportunities for new borrowers who right now under the current system can't get a loan or are inhibited. So they were saying possibly, you know, they find through pattern recognition and looking at similarities in all this data that if people have XYZ, that maybe under our traditional banking system, they're not a candidate for a good mortgage, but maybe the risk is actually low and AI could identify them as a decent candidate. So, you know, it might open up some doors for people.
I'm going to beat my old chestnut here about the bank service. The banks are kind of like big trucks, basically, that move very, very slowly. Mm-hmm. Trying to get them to change direction will be another challenge in itself. Yep. I suppose from a selfish point of view and looking at from a competitive point of view in terms of staying ahead of the competition, if I'm bringing this to my customers sooner than everyone else or sooner than the banks, well, that keeps me relevant. It keeps me to the point whereby, well, this is why clients will still use me. I'm giving them good service, and mm-hmm. then I can even give them more personal one-on-one yep. attention because my time is being freed up to enable me to do that, you know?
That's beautiful. You just said it perfectly. It's not to replace the personal touch. It's quite the opposite. It's instead of you with your head down, you know, doing 10 hours worth of paperwork, and then you know, only have time to send an email. Now you're going to be able to do it in an hour and have time for a 2-hour phone call or in-person meeting to lead these people.
As it stands, I can only work off, because I'm so busy, which is a great complaint, but I can only work off booked phone calls. I spend my day on scheduled phone calls I have with my clients are replying to the emails with queries.
Yep.
And then my phone might ring 10 times, but I don't answer my phone because I can't. It's a disruption. And then there's probably, my clients have probably said, I can't get hold of John, but they can always book a call I'll always reply to an email. But if suddenly I have more time because of the service, well, then I might even become more available, which is only help. Give me help with my service to my clients, you know?
That's wonderful. And one of the other things that we haven't even talked about yet, when we talk about data and mortgage and banking and finance and all and AI, which is, I see a huge utilitarian role for AI in this, is security. So I don't know about in Ireland, but in the US, the amount of financial fraud and data theft and credit report hacking and scams, financial scams, is insane.
Yeah, there certainly was a lot of scams. And I think it was a year and a half ago now, during COVID, actually, our health service got scammed.
Yep.
We're hacked by, I think there might have been Russians, but I think that's who they were. But so many of their patients, their mobile numbers went out there. And I think if you didn't get a message from someone, some text saying, you've won $100,000, click on this link or something, it's actually a lot more sophisticated than that, to be really honest with you. It's actually, the scammers are getting more and more sophisticated.
Oh, it's insane. It is insane what they do. And in the States, it's like,
and they're using AI as well now. That's where the danger is, you know?
Yep. And bots to call or to search for data. And, you know, they just want you to confirm something. It's very sophisticated, like you said. But I think with AI, there's a chance to sort of fight back. And a lot of these companies, even banks in the US, these big, huge brands, no matter what it is, you know, Nike, Honda, whatever, they're in the business not only of selling their products, but data collection. A lot of them make just as much money collecting your data and selling it or reusing it or retargeting it. So, you know, but then they're not responsible with how they keep it and hold it. And it's
there is a GDPR law, which is really strictly enforced, where we are very, very, very responsible for the data that we hold. And what we use, the purpose that we actually use the data for. So there is Europe, it's a significant European law in place that it really does set out to protect the data that we hold on.
That's great.
So it is.
Of course, it's still susceptible to, you know, bad actors and rogue nations and, you know,
And security is massive. It's massively important that that is treated, that the data
and
is.
So when these banks, you know, when they have a layer in place eventually of AI, whether it's they do it themselves or probably hire some 20-year-old kid who makes $1 billion starting a AI cybersecurity company, that's going to really help them eliminate waste, eliminate wasted time, eliminate, you know, inaccuracies on decision making and fraud and stuff. And so ostensibly the consumer will benefit from that as well.
Please God, for sure.
Yeah, interesting. So let me ask you this, when it comes to AI, because a lot of people, other than the visions of the Terminator, you know, with the flamethrower taking over the world, a lot the next conversation, the next negativity goes to, oh, but they're going to take all of our jobs. So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, that's a great question. And I have, the team I have working with, there's about, I think there's 9 of us now, and they know I'm all over this in relation to trying to make us as efficient as possible. And what I'm trying, my personal belief is as follows. The less of the manual stuff that we can take out of our role, the better the service we can give to our clients, right? And from a business point of view, potentially bring more business in and be able to service more business on the back of that, right? So I don't see it replacing the need for people. I just see the team or everyone that's working, they will be working on what I would call, it's probably a cliche term, but higher value tasks, right? So rather than inputting information from one spreadsheet into another spreadsheet, well, that's taken care of. They're actually ringing the bank, or they have time to make the extra phone call to ring the bank to say, where is my client's loan offer, right? And rather than the client having to wait 2 days because it's taken a half an hour to be able to give that updated information. Now, I'm being kind of specific here, but it could be anything, right? So, but my overall concept or my overall belief on this is basically try to cut out as much of the manual, I don't know, donkey work might be the wrong choice of words, very much the wrong choice of words, but the sort of the really just manual stuff. And
it's subjective work where you almost, the more the human touch is involved, the least accurate, the less accurate, and you know,
more mistakes can get made.
We don't want subjective opinion analysis, you know, human error.
Like, put this way, and this is just to give you a kind of a where the world from just within my own organization has gone in the last 4 years, right? 4 years before we put an application in, right? We have to basically prove to the banks that we can match, or they can meet the mortgage repayments, right? And there's a real forensic analysis done of bank accounts, okay? So that would have previously meant printing out all the bank statements, pretty much going through it line by line, okay? And looking for patterns or big items or things like gambling or something that the banks will query, money going back out of the country, whatever the query. Well, that job used to take us maybe 2.5 to 3 hours. But we believed in it so much so that it was before any application go into the bank, we do that level of detailed analysis so that we're putting our client's best foot forward when the application goes in. That was a 3-hour task. Today, I built a system whereby when we get the bank statements in, we can turn the bank statements into a spreadsheet, okay? I upload that spreadsheet into an application I have built. And that application then analyzes all the accounts and gives me an aggregate for each account and highlights the items that I'd be looking for. We then have to spend maybe 15 or 20 minutes analyzing that spreadsheet to be able to sort of use the human intellect to actually say, well, we actually don't need to know the answer to that because that's what that is, right? So that we've taken a 3-hour task and brought it down to a 20-minute task, but you can see the need for the human being hasn't been replaced. It's just become much more efficient on the back of being able to use technology, you know?
It creates an opportunity for your attention and focus to be reassigned.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
To something, you know, more suited to a human being.
Yeah, no, I love it. I have to say that with COVID, I didn't think I had this, I wouldn't say brain power, but I didn't think I had this passion for something. But when COVID came, it just gave me nothing else to do. And it almost became as important as doing my job, if that makes sense. I just love working on making the system, making our business more efficient.
And I remember those days.
We keep this between ourselves, Norm, because it doesn't do my personal credibility.
But I remember those days, you know, and we would talk a lot and, you know, we would basically just sitting around the house, you know, and nothing to do but work and eat in my case. But so.
Meet your brother.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, that was probably a unique time because, you know, God willing, knock on wood, we're not going to have another time like that in society, in our lives, where it's just hitting the pause button on everything and you could totally reassess and deconstruct things and rebuild them. And, you know, life moves too quickly for you to really do that in real time as things flow when there's not a pandemic. So that you made the best of that opportunity, definitely.
Yeah, I wouldn't pat myself on the back, to be honest with you. It was more a case of I had nothing else to do, you know. And then it became part of who I was. So
it became your passion project. Huh?
Yeah, it's continued into where I am right now. But yeah, so you look back at the COVID times, and I thought, well, I did make the most of it from a business point of view. But like us all, we all suffered during it. There's no two ways about it. Whether you've got my brother's young kids or your family, everyone at different points. It changed everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me, to that point, talking about, you know, the original question was how worried are you about losing your job? And you eloquently talked about how actually, you know, there's always a role for leadership and creativity and trust and human connection and service and stuff like that. And that'll never be replaced. So I pulled up a survey, I researched a survey that might be of interest to you. This is called The Hustle, which is not a dance, but it's actually a pretty credible website and blog and information source about all things work-related in the U.S. And they asked, I think it was 1,000 or 1,500 CEOs of companies how scared they were about AI replacing certain elements of their job. And so I'll read you the results, which are pretty telling. So the highest that they were most afraid of was AI replacing their elements of their job was tracking company performance. And so it wouldn't be subjective anymore. Maybe that's a good thing, but hey, the nuts and bolts.
I'd be all in favor of that. I wouldn't see that as a fear at all.
Budgeting, and that was 94%, almost a consensus. Budgeting and forecasting was next, also very high at 89%.
Are you saying they're afraid of this, by the way?
Yeah, so they foresee AI taking that part of their job away.
Okay.
They foresee AI taking over that.
Sorry for quizzing you, but are they okay? I absolutely could see it happening, but are they saying that's a bad thing? Or are they just saying that this could actually happen?
They weren't saying it was good or bad. They were just saying that they see AI taking over that aspect of their job in the future. So that was 94%, 89% budgeting, forecasting, tracking company performance, which is a huge sector in itself, right? And then it falls off a cliff, the percentage of what they see as AI taking over their roles in the future, down to 39% developing strategic objectives. So again, that's maybe it could help, you know, at basically a third, 39%, but there's still a lot of human brain power and creativity and, you know, brainstorming and sitting around the table, exchanging ideas. 38% was implementing proposed plans. Communicating with the board was 33%, public relations, stuff like that. And the lowest was work culture, which was 13%, which is important to think of too, because, you know, AI can't do anything for a work for your work culture, for the soft skills or the actual taking care of human beings at a job, at a bank, at a lender, at a mortgage broker.
Yeah, no, my own view, I'm maybe an optimist. I would look would be looking to embrace it, as I was saying earlier on, purely just to where can I make people's jobs more interesting and less kind of manual, where they can actually be creating more value for themselves, the customers, and ultimately for the business then as well, you know. So all those items that you mentioned, well, if we could make it happen, I'd be all for it, if that makes sense. Certainly the areas where I don't feel bring my customers value, then anything that can be may help us become more efficient, once it's guarded, then I'm sign me up.
And you know, AI isn't up at night worrying about making a mortgage payment. AI doesn't, you know, look at the kids and go, oh my God, how are we going to provide for them in 20 years? What are we going to leave them? Right. So these are very human experiences and emotions that artificial intelligence will never replicate or truly understand. And those things drive our behavior and consumer behavior and are very important to us on a day to day. So I think it's going to be a hybrid. So, you know, again, people maybe use these tools, like you talked about, to enhance the process, make it better for customers and clients, make it smoother.
But I think humans are the leaders and the AI is their part of their army, basically, if you want to put it in those terms.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think we figured it out. I think we cracked the whole riddle of AI for the entire world. Huh?
Yeah. Watch this space. Our conversation in 3 months' time. Well, we got that wrong. Look where it is now. So,
this is not going to age well with the way the technology is going so fast. We're going to sound like cavemen in 6 months. Huh?
Absolutely. But watch this space, as the fellow says.
Yeah. Of course, if people have questions or want to check in and if they need anything with the mortgage process, buying property in Ireland, they know where to come. You're the man.
Well, thank you for saying so more. But there's lots of good brokers out there. I wouldn't want to say I'm the only one.
Yeah, you're probably... How many people in your industry, let's just keep it general, home or abroad, or, you know, that you know of, are actually using AI?
Oh, that's a great question.
For property buying too, let's say real estate as well.
Well, I do know a good friend of mine mentioned that they were using it, but it was picked up on by a friend of his. The ad looked too good, if that makes any sense. And he didn't even know it was being, so it was being used slightly in the wrong way. Okay. I would say the more progressive brokers will look to take a view on it. How can this help our process? How can this help the actual the clients get from A to Z in the quickest time frame possible?
Yeah.
But it was interesting. There's one of the banks that I deal with. Now they're looking at being able to use API. I don't know if that's a term you're familiar with. It's where one system can talk to another. It's called API, right? Mm. And they're looking at building something whereby the API of, say, my system can talk to the API of the bank system, and we can fast track getting an application onto their system. Okay. But she was talking to, she would have a panel of about 36 brokers, and she wanted to know what systems they were using. But this was the scary thing. Of the 36 people on her panel, she told me that only 8 had their own systems. 4 were with this other crowd called Credit Logic, another 4 with another application, and I customized mine through monday.com, but the rest of them were still kind of all still using
just paper and email post-it system notes and flying by the seat of their pants,
I was really surprised to hear from my own business point of view. It made me feel, okay, well, I'm at the top level of what's being offered out there, but ultimately was still very surprised. So I would imagine, to use going back to that, if you want to break down those percentages, probably 20% of the brokers will probably embrace this and see how does it make us better. Although some people just keep, if it ain't broke, they just keep doing
good is the enemy of great, right?
Yeah, and I'm a big believer in trying to make things better. It's where I get my greatest inspiration from, if that makes any sense. It's maybe, I believe everything, if something takes 20 minutes, I'm looking at it now going, well, why is it taking 20 minutes? Surely that could be done in 5 minutes with the help of something, of some technology that's out there, you know?
Technology or systems or efficiency in general, right?
Absolutely.
Which again is all because you care about the client and the customer and you want them to have a smooth ride as possible.
Yeah, I take the this process very personally in that, well, I want to protect my reputation. I have a good reputation. And service is the only way of protecting reputation, and service and good communication, because I'm only literally able to control my service. The bank service is a little bit outside my absolute control. Obviously we keep chasing and we can probably prevent them dropping the ball a little bit. But their service is their service, but I can control mine. And if I control mine and it's good, and I communicate properly with regard to how the banks are servicing, well, then I'm doing a good job. So I keep wanting to make it better, basically, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Well, super interesting stuff. I'm glad we did this. And I think we didn't actually vomit all over ourselves. I think we had a pretty good conversation about something that's pretty all-encompassing and hard to grasp these days, huh?
And moving at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. Awesome. I think we covered a lot of bases here on the T and Mortgage podcast. And so why don't you say goodbye to the people and tell them when they might hear from us again?
Folks, I hope you got some insight into the AI world and mortgages today. As always, thank you very much for listening. And if you have any queries, you know where we are. And I look forward to reaching out to you in the very near future.